In the Beatitudes, which we just heard, and Jesus reveals to us the way to holiness in our daily existence, and he wants to help us to choose it. This path that Jesus describes stands in stark contrast to the path that most people choose to follow. But the Beatitudes are really the path to happiness, holiness, and heaven. The world tells us that to be happy, we must be rich. Jesus says, rather, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." We must be careful not to think that this beatitude calls actual material poverty a good thing. Poverty is not a good thing. Jesus would never have called blessed a state where people live in slums and do not have enough to eat, and where health deteriorates because conditions are against it. The poverty which is blessed is the poverty of spirit, when people realize their own helplessness and put their whole trust in God. Society tells us we will be happy when we don't have a concern in the world. Jesus says, on the other hand, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." Christianity is all about caring. Blessed are those who care intensely for the sufferings, for the sorrows, for the needs of others, and for their own sin and unworthiness. Worldly know-it-alls say, "You have to be strong and powerful to be happy." In contrast, Jesus says, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land." Nowadays, it seems that meekness carries with it the idea of spinelessness and subservience. It paints a picture of a submissive and ineffective person. But in reality, the word meek describes those who have the humility to know their own ignorance, their own weakness, their own need. Jesus says, "It is the meek who will inherit the earth." The world preaches, "You're happy when you accept yourself," and espouses an "I'm okay, you're okay" moral relativism. But Jesus says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied." How much do you want goodness? Do you want it as much as a starving person wants food, and as much as someone dying of thirst wants water? How intense is our desire for goodness? Jesus says, "Blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God." Is our work done for motives of service or from motives of financial gain? Is our church going in an attempt to meet God and praise him, or because of an obligation? The world lives by the philosophy of might makes right, but Jesus says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." Anyone who divides people is doing the devil's work. Anyone who unites people is doing God's work. Our culture increasingly declares, "You're happy when everyone considers you nice and when you don't have an enemy in the world." But Jesus says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, and blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you because of me, for your reward will be great in heaven. So in the Beatitudes, Jesus makes plain for us the path to holiness. It's the path he took himself, but it's a path few people choose to follow. Today, I would like to focus on one young person who did. 5 months ago, on September 7th, Carlo Acutis was canonized, becoming the first millennial saint. He was born in London in 1991. He grew up in Milan. He lived life with great enthusiasm, had scores of friends, dressed in jeans and sneakers, played soccer and Pokemon, and loved computers. He came from a home that didn't practice the faith, but thanks to the prayers of a grandmother, the good example of a Polish nanny, and the good fortune of going to Catholic school, he discovered as a young boy that Jesus Christ is truly present in the Eucharist. From that point until his death to leukemia at age 15, he sought to unite his entire life to Jesus in the Eucharist by going to daily Mass, by encouraging his friends to come to daily Mass, and even learning coding and web design so he could build a website on Eucharistic miracles to help young people across the world to come to experience the Eucharist. He wrote in his diary after his first communion at age 7, "My goal is to get to heaven." He said, "Our goal must be the infinite, not the finite. The infinite is our homeland. Heaven has been waiting for us forever." And that impacted his prayer life, too. He said the only thing we have to ask God for in prayer is the desire to be holy. He was super clear that holiness is something we shouldn't put off until we are older, but should be a consuming hunger even in our youth. Ask for the help of the Holy Spirit and confidently aim for the great goal of holiness. Carlo himself stated, "God has written for each of us a unique and unrepeatable story, but he has left us free to write the end of the story." Carlo prayed for that ending to be communion with all the saints in heaven by choosing to follow Jesus on the road that leads to eternal life. And so the greatest means we have to grow in holiness is the food of the saints, which is Jesus Christ in Holy Communion. Carlo Acutis called the Eucharist his highway to heaven. When we receive Jesus worthily, we enter into communion with him as he seeks to sanctify us from the inside out. The Eucharist is by far the most important means of becoming holy. Worshiping Jesus in the Holy Eucharist, inside of us after Holy Communion, and outside of us in adoration, is the best means to prepare ourselves for what the saints now eternally enjoy. So let us ask the Lord as we get ready to receive him in just a few moments, to stir up in us a ravenous hunger and insatiable thirst for holiness, so that we might resolve with all our hearts to live by Jesus' high standards of ordinary Christian living, and through the Eucharist, speed along the highway to heaven, to that place where St. Carlo Acutis and all the angels and saints are praying for us and waiting for us. And so the Beatitudes are described by many as Jesus' self-portrait. The Beatitudes are the traits of a soul on the way to holiness. The heart of the church's moral teaching, the heart of her spirituality. And so let us ask ourselves today, who was poor in spirit except the Son of God, who emptied himself, pouring out his life on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins? Who mourned our sins more than Christ? Who more than Christ was meek and gentle of heart? Who thirsts for righteousness except the one who said from the cross, "I thirst"? Or who is more merciful than the one whose heart is an abyss of charity, whose heart is purer than he who is God from God and light from light, and who suffered more persecution and insult than the one they crucified between the two thieves? And therefore, let us see our trials and tribulations not as useless burdens, but as graces spurring us on to holiness, spurring us to be like the Lamb of God, who is at the center of that great and heavenly multitude we aspire to be part of. Saints of God, come to our aid. Angels of the Lord, pray for us. Amen.